Let's stand and sing.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry the crown of blame? It was we'll be right back.
Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. This morning has been a wonderful morning already. I've been super excited. I couldn't go to sleep last night. I've been ready to go. I stayed up until about 1:30 this morning, and I was just so excited. This week's been amazing as far as being able to talk to people, been able to see. So this morning, I'm actually kind of jealous as a preacher just preached a wonderful message, but today is my wife's birthday. And so, you know, she's younger than I am. I'm not going to tell her age, but, you know, her bones are still a little healthier than mine. I'm older, so if you haven't caught on. But anyway, this morning, if you have your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. This morning, I want to talk about I believe. We're going to read just a verse here that I sought out and I looked, and it kind of put something on my heart. But the key phrase here we're going to see is, I believe, Paul says here. But if you could stand in honoring of God's word, Acts chapter 27, we're just going to read one verse here, verse 25 to start out with. Says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Lord, thank you for this day. And Lord, I just ask that you would hide me behind your cross, that I wouldn't say anything more or anything less. Lord, that you'd be the one that speaks. Lord, that someone that needed to make a decision, that this would speak to someone's heart. Lord, we praise you for the things you do and the things to come. And Lord, we love you and pray. You may be seated. So, I believe God, everything really starts with this simple statement here that we see that Paul says, I believe. A little backstory here, if you don't know anything about this chapter, you know, Paul, he's getting sent over, he's in prison, and, there's a lot of people on this ship. There's a lot of things that's going on here, and we're going to go through it, but there's a crazy storm coming through that's lasted for about 2 weeks, and through all this, he's telling the people on this boat that I believe. And so for the unbeliever to be saved, they must believe. You know, as I've been, my goal this year, I set some spiritual goals, and, you know, I want to win a lot of people to the Lord this year. You know, this past Thursday night, my wife was really craving some Chick-fil-A, and I tell you what, Chick-fil-A was good. I didn't eat anything. I just got a sweet tea because I love their sweet tea. But this gentleman, he came and he said, sir, I just need 25 cents. And I said, oh, let me see what I got. You know, my wife's always steal my change. My kids steal my change. But I'll see what I got left. And so I got in there and I had a couple bucks. And I just said, here you go, man. Just take it. I don't want the change back. And then, you know, the Lord spoke to me and said, why don't you know, invite them to the all-day revival? You know, it's been exciting this week. So I came back and I said, hey, man, let me invite you to our all-day revival, and also let me invite you to church. But there's one thing that I care about, that I believe that a living God, I believe. And so I told this gentleman and I said, hey, man, you know, my question is, have you ever been to church before? And he says, yeah, it's been 21 years. He says, long story short, my grandpa passed away, and my grandma and them, that we kind of just fell apart, and I just don't go to church anymore. But I've been praying. I've been asking the Lord for somebody to come and, you know, kind of guide me, to kind of lift me up. And, you know, and here you are. And I said, well, praise God. And I said, well, cool, man. Well, I'd love to see you come to a church to try us out. And then my next thing is I said, you know, I care for you, but if you die today, would you go to heaven? And he says, man, to be honest with you, I don't even know how to even get to heaven. I said, praise the Lord. I said, listen, man. I said, sorry, I'm excited here. And I was just jumping up in joy because I'm sitting there. I said, look, I can get I can get God's word out and show you physically, or I can use this little track. And if you believe what I believe, then guess what? You're going to go to heaven. And I was just so excited. I was getting goosebumps. And, I kept apologizing because I was just jumping up in joy for this guy. And he says, no, man, I believe you. So I went through the gospel with him, and he accepted Christ right then and there. And the awesome thing is he says, do I need to get out of my car to get saved? No, man, you sit in your car and you say, I believe in Jesus Christ, died on the cross for my sin, so I get to go to heaven. You know, I was just so excited. But the main thing is for the unbeliever to be saved, they must believe. In John 3:18, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. No, I believe. I believe that I serve an amazing God. You know, I believe that, you know, God is so amazing that he created this whole amazing world here, the earth and everything that's in it. And that's what I told this gentleman. I said, so it just amazes me that people don't believe, but all they got to do is look out their window and say, wow, look at that sunset. Look at the beaches when you go to the beach. Look, just look at the flowers, the trees. Look how amazing this is. You know, if you believe in science, you're not getting very far. You know, if you believe in the Big Bang Theory and just something magical happens and boom, and then, you know, monkeys came and then we came from monkeys. Ah! I believe we serve a risen Savior. But for the believer to be victorious and prosper, they must believe. So my question today is, do you believe all the way, or do you just kind of just say, God, I believe you, but, you know, I got something to do today. You know, you look around and you see these churches that since COVID that they've been down in numbers, but you look and you say, they must not believe enough because, you know, they're not around. I believe that I can worship God at my house. Well, yeah, you can, but the Bible, given their full faith in what the Lord has for them. But it comes back to, I believe. This is the crux of the Christian life. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, I feel like it shouldn't be that hard to believe, but maybe I don't know. But the Bible says that we gotta believe. You know, if we could just imagine, just put yourself in some footsteps and be in a unbeliever's vision here. You know, just look around. But you see, as we go through this chapter here just in a second, but Paul made a very powerful statement here. He said to those on the ship, I believe God. He went on to expound on that by saying that it shall be even as it was told me. That is the bottom line. We believe God when we believe his word. If you don't believe this, I don't know what to tell you. This is our life instruction manual. This is, you know, God gave us every little thing here, even though there's times when us men don't like to read the instruction manual. We say, we got this. But guess what? We got to read because we got to believe. But if we do not believe God's word, we do not believe God. In John 8, verses 13, we'll jump around here just in, if you want to turn to John 8 and keep your spot in Acts. John 8, verse 13 and 14. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. That's harsh. But then you go to 14 here, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. You know, our God is just awesome. You know, the people that says, I don't believe, and that, you know, we see the Pharisees there, that you're not true. We're going through John in a Bible study right now at Brookville, and we've gone through this, and the first few chapters of, you know, the Pharisees and stuff, they're going back and forth to Jesus saying, oh, you're not real. You're not the Son of God. Ah! They didn't have a belief. But let's jump down a few verses here to verse 30 in the same chapter. It says, as he spoke these words, many believed on him. 31, then said Jesus to those Jews, which believeth on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. Let's keep going here. The Pharisees continue to argue and debate Jesus. But here, notice Jesus' response in verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he's here. Verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Verse 46. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? You know, it drives me nuts when you go and you're witnessing and you go to somebody, just a random person, and you say, hey, and you get to build a relationship with them, and they just don't get it. They don't believe. And you just ask them over and over and over, why don't you believe? And half the time, they can't even give you an explanation. Yeah. They just look at you like, huh? Like my little puppy does. I got a little 12, 13-month-old puppy, and it just looks at me, huh? Come here. Huh? And that's what they do to us. But just imagine that they got to believe. But go back to Acts. Hope you didn't lose your spot there. Acts 27. Paul's confidence in God was clear. How confident are you in God? Are you saying, I believe, and you're so confident on it that you can scream it on top of your roof and say, I believe? Or are you, I believe? You know, you sit there and you think of all these Christians and they say that, oh, I believe God, but in all reality, they're too scared because on Sundays, the football game is more important than coming to God's house and actually worshiping Him, because they don't believe enough, because they some of them believe that the Browns is going to win the Super Bowl one day. Ah! But how much do you believe? You know, Paul believed God in this account as a direct result of his testimony. In verse 23, his faith was reinforced by the presence of God. There stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, the purchase of God, whose I am, and then the partnership with God and whom I'm served. Who are you serving today? Are you serving the world and everything that they're throwing at you, and you're saying, ooh, I like that, I want that. Ooh, I like that, I want that. Or are you serving the God and telling others about who the truth is and what He does for you, instead of saying, oh, I got to get my phone out and I got to order something off Amazon because that's more important. You know, who are you serving? But number one today, Paul believed God in spite of the skeptics. Paul was surrounded by unbelievers. Paul was surrounded by people that had faith in anybody and anything but God. Imagine what you are when you go to work, when you go to school, when you go out in public. You're surrounded by unbelievers until you say, hey, do you believe? Hey, do you go to church somewhere? Have you accepted the one and only true God? I mean, you sit there and you think, Paul was surrounded by all these people, and here in a second I'm going to give a number, and it just, many times I read through this story, it just blew me away. But Paul was surrounded by unbelievers, and Paul was surrounded by people that had faith in anything, but in everything but God. So let's start in verse 9 here, 27 verse 9. Excuse me. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, and not only the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, this centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those that which were spoken by Paul. But one of the biggest challenges that that a child of God faces today is being in the minority and about almost everything. Being the only believer, being the only one that knows God and trusts God, takes a toll on our faith. You know, sitting there going to Bible study, and you know, praise God that the Bible study had grown this year, and it's just amazing to see that these young men and young women coming to Bible study, and even teachers wanting to stay afterwards just to sit there and see what's going on. You know, you sit here and you think, but they believe, but then you know. 18, 20, and then you go to, you look around in the whole Northmont district of whatever, 2,500 people. Look at what all your kids, your grandkids are surrounded by. Non-believers. People that say, oh, God's not important enough because track, lacrosse, football, soccer, baseball, whatever other sport there is more important than serving the true master. Paul, he was surrounded. Paul faced the same difficulties that we face. We are surrounded by people that trust everything and anything but God, but in spite of Paul's preaching in verse 9 and Paul's perspection of verse 10, they still believe the master and owner of the ship. We are surrounded by people like that. People believe scientists more than they believe God. People believe the government more than God. People believe that their college professors more than they believe God. They believe the climate change cult more than they believe God. Believe their family, their friends, their BFFs more than they believe God. They believe their unsafe spouse more than they believe God. They believe their parents, their siblings, their girlfriend, their boyfriend more than they believe God. But people that are boldly proclaimed, I believe God, is a difficult thing sometimes when you're surrounded by skeptics. Paul was the only person, let's just read it, verse 37. And we were in the ship, 216 souls. Do your math right, 276 people there. Paul was the only person that believed. You look around, you think you go into Myers, for example. I was there this morning to get my wife some flowers and a card. And, you know, I was looking around. There's a lot of people there at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'll tell you what, Sunday morning comes rolling around. They're there and they're not in God's house. They don't have a belief. But it's going to take each one of us that do believe, that says, I believe in God, to say, hey, I'm going to be bold with my faith, just like good old Paul says, to go out and tell those people. If we're bold and you have kids and your kids see it and say, wow, Mom and Dad, I see you talking to strangers, even though we tell our kids don't talk to strangers, but when your kids go up to a stranger and tell them about who Christ is, you know how amazing that would be? I believe. Paul believed God in spite of the storm. Storms have a way of testing people's faith, don't they? Storms have always been used by God to accomplish things. You know, there's many things that happen in my life. I'm nowhere near perfect. And, you know, God gets my attention a lot of times. I'm a very, not necessarily a awful person, but there's times when, you know, I'm human, I forget. And when I forget things over and over, God makes sure he's put something there to make sure I remember. You know, storms come. But it's your decision to say, I believe. Or it's your decision to say, oh, I'm just going to run away from that storm because I don't want to get in it. You know, if you believe, going through that storm and knowing that God is there in front of you directing you, saying, come on, child, let's go, like we do our children, then guess what? We would follow. But just like what preacher said earlier, it's funny because we went over that this past Wednesday. God says, you know, the sheep hear my voice and they come. You know, if you would just come, if you would listen, then guess what? That storm would be a whole lot easier than going, well, being like Jonah and saying, I ain't going to the Nineveh and running away. You know, storms have always been used by God to accomplish things. And Luke 8, 22 through 25, it says, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awake him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. But then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? You know, that story always cracks me up, because obviously Jesus is there on the boat with them. There's a storm, obviously. Why would... It's wavy! Oh no, we're gonna die! Jesus is with you, dummies. But you gotta remember that. Jesus is always with you. He'll never forsake you and he'll never leave you. And the thing is, you gotta believe. But, you know, I just feel like we don't believe enough. We believe on Monday because we're all fired up on Sunday. And then Tuesday, we're still kind of fired up. And then Wednesday, we get refueled. And then Thursday comes around, and we're like, yeah. And then Friday, you know, normally that's party night, and everybody comes, and everybody's getting off work. And then now you're down in the dumps, and now you're like, oh, I'm going to do whatever I want. In God's word, because you start believing it. And then, you know, you believe God. You hear him. But The storm in Acts 27 was a violent temperate storm. One way to find out just how much faith you have is to enter into a violent, dangerous storm. You know, I told Xavier today, this morning, there's a word that I'm going to mess it up, so bear with me. But Euroclydom is,
amen.
It's just a violent agitation. The true state of a person's faith will be manifested during a violent agitation. You know, Paul believed God in spite of the stipulation, number three here. You know, the conditions of their safety didn't look good. God told Paul that all those that sailed with him would be spared in verse 24. But he also told them that they would lose the ship. Imagine you're in the ship, and the ship's going to be gone. God says, hey, you got to believe. Verse 26, we see that God also told Paul that they would be cast upon a certain island. But God also told Paul that except they abode in the ship, they cannot be saved. So imagine you're in a ship and it's these storms are coming and it's 2 weeks just straight, just winds and rain and who knows, tornadoes and whatever else there is. And you're in this boat and he says, hey, you got to stay in this boat, but that boat's going to disappear. Imagine how you would feel. This dangerous storm, and you're just sitting there and you're just, God, you're really tempting me today. What kind of storms are you having in your life? Some of you guys might be having some terrible storms going on in your life right now, and you don't know if you should get out of the ship or stay in the ship, and you're just sitting there just kind of just rocking with it. And then you're trying to find an easy way out, just like these people did. Verse 22 says, he told them that they would lose the ship, but it just might be me, but that sounds sketchy, nerve-wracking, and crazy, actually. But stay with the ship, and you'll be saved. Oh, boy. Stay in the ship, but the ship is going to be destroyed. And then you imagine what's around when you're in the water. Some sticks, some rocks. Who knows what's in the water that's going to eat you? Just being honest. But by the way, we're going to lose the ship. But you got to stay in the ship to be saved. God's going to save you. But be of good cheer, boys. We're going to lose the ship, but stay in the ship if you want to live. But let's make it more exciting. Let's add a few more elements here. In verse 29, they were surrounded by rocks, the Bible says. You know, I went whitewater rafting a couple years ago when I was in the college and career, way before I got married, obviously. And, you know, there was rocks all over the place. They said, oh, you can body, you know, get out and, you know, you just lay on your back and you can go over the whitewater rafts. You know, I wasn't the smartest. I'm still not the smartest, but I said, yeah, that sounds like fun. It was fun and all, but, you know, there was rocks. But let's get more interesting. And the shipmen were trying to secretly abandon the ship because they did not believe. They're in verse 30. And they cut the lifeboats loose and let them fall off into the sea. Look, they're trying to find another way out. They still didn't believe, and they said, well, if I cut the boats off, maybe they won't see me. You know, imagine how some of you guys are in life with your storms. You're trying to find the easiest way out, and you're like, ooh, if I go, I told my wife I was going to be home at this time. She's in there in the living room, so maybe if I act like I'm working in the garage, I'll be safe. You know, trying to find the easy way out. But, and they had not eaten in 2 weeks, according to verse 33. But then, finally, 38, after they ate, they threw all the food overboard. Now, you know, a big guy like me, I got to eat. I got to eat a couple times a day. And, you know, but just imagine, 2 weeks not eating. 2 weeks of just these crazy storms. Imagine this boat, you're just in this boat rocking back and forth until you get to the very last little board, until you fall in. And God says, you got to stay. Stay in the boat, and you'll be saved. But Most people in this situation would have looked for alternative solution. Believing God under these circumstances was a tremendous test of God's faith. Again, imagine, yeah, there's prisoners, there's all kinds of people around, but still, look at Paul. He says, I believe, and he's trying to tell all these people around him that all you got to do is believe, and they're saying, no, I can't do that. This is too scary. There's rocks, there's fish that has teeth that's going to bite in your life, and the storm's coming through. You got to remember, I believe. Yet, he never wavered in believing God would keep them alive, regardless of the difficulties. Believing God means you cannot believe yourself or your emotions or your own heart. That was, you think, a lot of us make a lot of emotional decisions. Oh, I need that brand new car. Please, babe, please. You know, you don't need nothing. The only thing you need is Jesus Christ. Lastly here, I'm finishing up. Say, believe God when it comes to your condition. Go over to Jonah. One of my favorite books here. Jonah chapter 3:4-5. Jonah chapter 3:4-5. It says, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put a sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. We see here that Nineveh is about to be taken over, but the people still believed on Jesus Christ. They believed. But again, it goes back to your own life. How much do you believe of God? Do you believe God every day, or do you sit there and you skip around and you play with God? I always say, never play with God. You know, you sit there and you think of, you know, yeah, you sit there and miscall your parents, and or you can, your kids, your grandkids, and you can play around with them, but never play around with God. You know, I call my mom every single day just to see how she's doing. And again, you know, but again, some of us can't even call upon God every day. Some of us are, oh, I'm too busy. Why are you too busy for God? But God made it clear in chapter 1 of Jonah, verse 3, that Nineveh was a wicked place. But when he heard Jonah's message, they didn't deny it. They didn't argue with God about it. They didn't justify themselves or make excuses. They believed God. He will be filled with people from every generation, every nation, every background, and all with one thing in common. They didn't believe God when it came to the matter of their own sin. Luke 18:9-14 says, and he spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and or even as the publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eye unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself should be exalted. If you want to be saved, you must first forsake your self-righteousness. Stop trusting in your good works and believe God about your true condition. I don't know your condition. Nobody else in here knows your condition, but only God does. And it's your job to say, God, I'm going to lay it out all on the table. But you got to do that. I can't do it for you. Preacher can't do it for you. Nobody else in here can do it for you. Only you can. Believe God when it comes to your concerns. In Mark 11:22-24, it says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, for I verily say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Jesus told his disciples to simply believe God. Believe God about big things, whether whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Believe God about bold things. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. But believe God about burden things, what things soever ye desire. So I ask you today, non-believers and believers, do you believe? When I say do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the true King? Or are you only giving him a quarter of it, a half of it, three quarters of it? When God says, I want all of you. But it's up to the non-believer and the believer to say, I believe. If I can have eyes closed, you know, when I was reading through this, I wasn't, I'm just a sinner just like everybody else in here. But I believe that we need to give God our all. And so I'm asking the Christian now, how much do you believe God? Do you believe him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? Or are you only giving him a little bit of it? So I ask you, if you struggle with I believe, the altar is open for you. Lay all your burdens out for the Lord and communicate with him. For the non-believer, you know, preacher already went over, but you know, there's only two places you can go when you die. That's heaven or hell, and you know, sadly, you know, hell's a place where you don't want to go. But thankfully, God sent his son to die on the cross for me, for you, everybody in this entire world, so that they can go to heaven eternally. Forever, is what I like to say. You either spend forever in heaven, or you spend forever in hell. But the thing is what you got to do is you got to believe. You got to repent of your sins. And you say, well, what's a sin? Well, it's something you've done wrong. I've done everything wrong. The Ten Commandments, what preacher already went over, the first thing is, if you have any gods, you have any idols, if you stole, if you dishonored your parents, so on and so forth, you already sinned right then and there. You know, we're all sinners. But in Romans 3:10, it says, there's none righteous, no, not one. So there's nobody perfect. But the thing is that in Romans 6:23, for the wage of sin is death. We're all going to die. But the cool thing here is in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But in Romans 10:13, it says, for whosoever, that's anybody in this room, anybody in this world, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not baptism, not sprinkle of water, not whatever dancing around. You got to believe and profess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and you can be saved. So, if there's anybody in here this morning that says, I need to be saved, if you could just raise your eyes at me, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to make fun of you. I just want to pray for you. And again, for the believers that this message spoke to you, the altar's open. I believe. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. Have your way.